Tonight, we're looking at chapter 3 of A Praying Life. I thought I would try to take chapter 3 and 4 together, but after going through chapter 3, I thought it might be best just to slow down and just look at that one chapter by itself. And so we're starting kind of a new section in the book, and this section runs from chapter 3 through 8, and all of this has to do with basically learning how to relate to our Heavenly Father as a child, learning to pray like a child. And so chapter 3 specifically is about becoming like a little child in our relationship with God. And he starts off by talking about Jesus and his ministry and how many times Jesus told his disciples that they needed to become like little children. One of the instances that he references is in Mark chapter 10, when the disciples were trying to prevent some little children from coming to Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus and be around him, and the disciples were kind of holding them back, thinking that they would bother Jesus somehow. But Jesus didn't like that. In fact, it says in Mark 10 that Jesus was indignant, and he said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And that's just one of several places where Jesus says that we need to be like little children. Here in this particular case, he's probably referring to just the belief, the trust that children often have naturally, and just the openness that they have. And he kind of builds off of that idea of us being like children before God. And he brings that into the arena of prayer and how we can relate to God, our Father, as children in the way that we pray. And one of the main things that he focuses on in childlike behavior is that children they're just very open, aren't they? They'll, especially younger children, before they kind of get this sense of social propriety, you know, of I should say that, I shouldn't say that. When younger kids don't have that sense, right? They just say whatever they're thinking. If they have a question, they ask it. If they make if they think something, they'll make a comment. And this is probably a classic one in our family. But we were at my mom's house a few years back, and we were sitting around the counter, and my mom had made chicken for supper, and it was fine. There was nothing wrong with it, but it was different than the way that we normally make chicken in our house. And I remember Lily, of course, this is a few years back, so she's like 4 and maybe 5, and she said, "This chicken is disgusting." Right there, you know, in front of my mom and her grandma. Kids do that. You know, they just say whatever's on their mind, and they say what they're thinking. And that's kind of the idea that he's... Go ahead. Wait till you get grandkids. They tell you what they think. No, that's fine. It builds on the point that we're making here. And so kids are just very open. A lot of times they just say what's on their mind. And he's building on that idea in terms of the way that we relate to God. Children, there's no facade with children. They don't put on a front. They are who they are, and they tell you what they're thinking about. And oftentimes they speak before they think, don't they? They just say what's on their minds. And it's that kind of genuineness and transparency that he's trying to lift up before us in our relationship with God in prayer. Just being open and honest and being genuine with our Heavenly Father. And he says, too often we try to be spiritual. And it's almost like when we enter into prayer, it's like we have to go into spiritual mode. And we think that we have to say certain phrases, or we have to, you know, change our style of language. And he says, no, we just need to talk to our Father. He's a person, and he's our Father. We're his children. And he says, instead of just trying to focus on being spiritual, just be who we are when we come to God. And what that means is, if we're going to be who we are when we come to God, that means that we're going to have to come messy, because that's who we are. We have all kinds of faults and problems. And so we come to God as we are, as messy, but sometimes prayer can even make that worse, because when we come before God in prayer, it's almost as if our faults, our sins, are put under a microscope. And we see them more clearly. We see our faults and our failures more clearly, and sometimes then we might be even more tempted to try to put on a front. And he says, we shouldn't be doing that. When we come to God in prayer, sometimes that's when we see how bad we really are. When we're trying to be good, we see how bad we are. And nothing exposes our selfishness and our spiritual powerlessness like prayer. And then he draws an analogy again here too from little children, in that little children are selfish, aren't they? Little children are selfish. They're self-absorbed. But here's the thing. They don't realize it. A lot of times they don't realize that they're being selfish. They don't realize that they're being self-absorbed. That's just, they're just being themselves. And he says, in a way, that's how we need to be with God as well. Not that we should intentionally want to be selfish, but that as we come before God, we should not let our messiness hinder us from coming to God. Because as parents who love our children, when they are being selfish and they're wanting to draw attention to themselves and they're wanting to us to focus on them, we welcome them, don't we? We welcome them. And our Father will welcome us into his presence. And so as parents, we welcome our children with all their imperfections and even with their selfishness and being self-absorbed. And our Heavenly Father does the same. Our Heavenly Father welcomes us into his presence, even with our imperfections. And so the gospel teaches us that the welcoming heart of God cheers us when we come to him with our wobbling, unsteady prayers. And I'm going to make another point of this in just a moment, but sometimes there's this wall that we build up between coming to Christ in the gospel and coming to our Heavenly Father in prayer. We would never think that when we come to the gospel, when we come for salvation, that we have to clean ourselves up before we come for salvation, because God forgives us as we are, doesn't he? He forgives us as faulty, imperfect rebel sinners. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. But yet sometimes in our prayer life, we think that we have to put on a front or become all spiritual when we come before God. And why should those two things be different? God welcomes us as his children. And so the gospel teaches us that God welcomes us into his presence. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew, let all those who are weary and heavy laden, all those who are burdened down, let them come to me. So it's almost as if the criteria for coming to Jesus is weariness. It is coming with an overwhelmed life. It is coming with a wandering mind. It is coming messy. He says, come. So don't try to get the prayer right. Just tell God where you are and what's on your mind, just as a child would do. So don't focus so much on the procedure or on the right words or on the methodology. Just be like a child coming to your parent and saying, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what's on my mind. And here's the point I was making a moment ago, that we know that to become a Christian, we shouldn't try to fix ourselves up in order to be accepted by God. But sometimes when it comes to prayer, we forget that and we try to fix ourselves up or put on a front before God or become spiritual, whatever that means, when we come before God. But he says we need to come genuine. And sometimes in private prayer, it's one of the last bastions of legalism. And what he means by that is legalism is the idea that I have to do something to be accepted by God, that somehow I can earn acceptance with God. Well, we can't earn acceptance with God in salvation. Neither can we earn acceptance with God in prayer. We come before him as his children. And so in order to pray like a child, we might need to unlearn some of the non-personal, non-real praying that we've been taught or seen modeled. We need to come genuine, like a child. And so what God wants in our prayer life is he wants us. He wants the real you. And he says, if you don't come to God as you are, then you're coming artificially, like the Pharisees. He uses the point in the chapter. He talks about the disciples and how the disciples in their relationship with Jesus, they were very open, weren't they? Oftentimes the disciples were like children in the sense that they would sometimes say whatever was on their mind. And sometimes they would get their foot caught in their mouth. Seems like Peter was one that did that an awful lot. But Peter wasn't the only one. Several of them did and said things in Jesus' presence that we read it today and we're just scratching our heads like, why would you say that or why would you do that? But Jesus welcomed them still, didn't he? He welcomed them. He embraced them as his disciples. And so we have two disciples fighting over who's going to be first in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus uses that opportunity to tell them, you need to be like children, not fighting for position. Or we have, Peter saying things that he shouldn't say. Or we have Nathanael. When Jesus first calls Nathanael and I believe it's Philip walks up to him and says, come and see this man that I've met. He's from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And just kind of that's an open, kind of unguarded statement, isn't it? Almost a prejudice statement. Like those Nazarenes, those people from Nazareth, nothing good comes from there. And he just said whatever was on his mind. And Jesus says to him, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile, in whom is no deceit. In other words, Nathanael was who he was. He was just open there, warts and all. And Jesus welcomed him as the imperfect but open and genuine person that he was. And so the disciples often said whatever was on their minds. But the Pharisees were the exact opposite, weren't they? The Pharisees were the exact opposite. They thought things about Jesus, but they would never say them. So they would always say or whisper among themselves, or they would think things in their heart. And the Gospels tell us Jesus knew what they were thinking, but they would never say it. The Pharisees always put on a front. And Jesus called them hypocrites, didn't he? So the disciples were often wrong and messy, but they said what they thought. The Pharisees put on a good front in front of people, but in their hearts, they were opposed to Jesus. And Jesus called them hypocrites. So we need to come to God as disciples, as little children. Don't come with any kind of spiritual mask or some kind of front that we have to put on, but come as the real you. He says the real you has to meet the real God. And one of the things he says is in our busy world, one of the reasons that we get distracted in prayer is because we don't really stop and think about what's troubling our hearts. What is it that's going on in our lives? What are we thinking about? What are the thoughts that are troubling us? What are the issues that we're concerned about? And he suggests slowing down and stopping and even thinking about, okay, what are the things that are troubling me? What are the things that are concerns? What are the things that are bothering me right now? What are the difficulties that I'm going through? Think about those. That way, when you go to God, you can just pour out your heart to God and tell him exactly what you've been thinking and what has been going on. And when we do that, when we come to God and we just pour out our hearts before him, it's going to be messy because there are things in our hearts that are off kilter, that are askew. But that's okay, isn't it? That's okay because we have to begin with what is real. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. And how many of us qualify for that? All of us, right? So we all qualify as sinners. We all qualify to come before God through Jesus. And so when you bring your real self to Jesus, then we give him the opportunity to work on the real us and to change us in the process. God would rather deal with the real thing. Jesus said he came for sinners, for messed up people who keep messing up. And so we can come dirty and unclean before our Father. And the point of the gospel is that we are incapable of beginning with God and his kingdom. That's not where we start. We start sinners, messed up, dirty. And there are many Christians who pray for God's kingdom, but all the while their lives are wrapped up in their own. And he says you can't add God's kingdom as an overlay to your own. So you got to be seeking God with all your heart and just pouring out yourself to God as you are. And then he finishes up by talking about really relating to God as our Father. He says the opening of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, is reminding us of the relationship that we have with God. It's a relationship of love. It's a relationship of care, of affection. And when we come before God in prayer and we say, Father, it's just like a child coming to their parent saying, Daddy, Mommy. And their attention is focused on them, isn't it? They want to know what's going on. What's happening? How can I help? And so we need to remember that when we're in prayer with our Father, that he is concerned about us. He's focused on us. And that's where we find rest for our souls. If we remove prayer from the welcoming heart of God, then prayer becomes a legalistic chore. We do the duty, but we miss touching the heart of God. Don't you think that that's a big problem in our lives and why sometimes we don't pray? I think it is. I think one of the reasons why prayer becomes difficult, why it becomes like a duty, like a legalistic chore, is because we've forgotten about the fact that we're just talking to a person. And we've forgotten about the fact that God welcomes us as we are. And we don't have to come with any particular formula, or we don't have to clean ourselves up first. We don't have to put on a front. God just wants us to talk to him. And so when we come with the idea of that it's a duty or a chore, then we're not really communing with God's heart. We're not fellowshipping with God. But when we come, as Jesus invited us to come, weary and heavy laden, then we find the heart of God, the heart of God's concern for us. I thought I would finish up with some questions, and maybe y'all have some comments and questions too, but just some discussion questions and maybe open it up. In what ways do you think that Jesus wants us to become like little children? Faith, just an open trust. Yeah. Trust. Kids instinctively trust their parents, don't they? And especially when you take that and elevate it to the higher level of God is so much better and more righteous and more faithful than we are. And then also, I think one of the other elements too that's related to trust is dependence. How kids, young kids, are so dependent on their parents for everything, all their needs. And I think God wants us to be dependent on him.
Are we not his children?
Exactly. We are. And that's an amazing thought, isn't it?
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
If you're one of his children, act like a child.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And I think sometimes we can forget about that, but that's who we are. We are his children. Any other thoughts on what it means to relate to God like a little child? How about maybe describe some, what would it look like differently to come to God in prayer messy or to come put together? you don't know what that put together stuff looks like. Yeah, in terms of just coming as you are, coming open, and how you're feeling at that moment.
Very possibly they don't ever pray, except in times of when they think that they really need something.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously those aren't the only times we should pray, but those are probably very genuine moments, aren't they? Of very genuine moments of need and of dependence. I think a lot of what he's talking about in this book is about our own personal private prayer times. But I think even to extend it to public prayers, I think sometimes we can fall into the trap, even in public prayers, of trying to do it as a performance. You know, using particular formulas or language, or it doesn't need to be. Even public prayers don't need to come across in any kind of formulaic or spiritual way. Yeah.
And not be mechanical, but you have to please God. You don't worry about pleasing what other people think about you. That's your duty and all that you do right there. You don't worry about pleasing other man.
Yeah.
Please God first, and you please somebody else second if it's necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's not special words that you have to say.
Yeah.
But people are comfortable with that because they feel like they do have to say the right thing.
Right. Right.
Sometimes when we have it all planned out, it's like all we're doing is delivering a speech.
Right. Is it sincere?
Yeah.
We're not talking to them.
Yeah.
We're just delivering it for people to hear it.
Yeah. And I think it's easy, and I know I fall into traps like this. I try to avoid it, but I know because I do a lot of public prayers that there are probably times when they do sound very similar, but I try to consciously think about not repeating myself and just saying the same words all the time. And because we wouldn't talk to another person that way, would we? I mean, we wouldn't talk to another person and say the exact same thing the same way every time. You know, we... Yeah.
Sometimes the repetition of your prayer, or even like when you repeat when you're in the pulpit, that's a repetition to reinforce memories that might have been forgotten.
Sure.
So that's a positive way to look at it.
Sure.
To me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That goes right along with what being stated right there.
Yeah.
There's never 100% material in anything that you do, you know, based on my thoughts, based on what I read.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, even in this area of learning to pray to our Father, it's a lifelong, well, it's kind of like a relationship. You know, it even using the analogy of a marriage relationship, you know, it takes you a lifetime to really know and get closer to a person and know all about them. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. The longer that we're in relationship with Him and talking with Him, the more comfortable and intimate that relationship becomes. Yeah, exactly. I think so too. And I was just thinking about this question, the difference between coming to God messy and coming put together. And I think sometimes when we don't feel put together, we don't come to God because we don't want to come messy. Okay, all right. That's good. So why do you think it's important for us to come to God as we are, and why is that hard for us to do? Yeah. Yeah. It's really more of a hindrance to us, isn't it? If we try to come in a false way, it's real more hindering us because, like you said, God already knows everything about us. Yeah.
I think that God put things in your heart to pray. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night, you know, and I have a hot flash or something, you know, or whatever it is, or I can't go back to sleep. And I think, you know, is there a reason why I'm awake? Why can't go back to sleep? Am I supposed to be praying about something? I don't know if anybody's ever done that, but you think,
I do that all the time.
You know, you wake up in the night, there's a reason why I can't go back to sleep. Maybe I'm supposed to pray for somebody. I mean, you know, I think God puts those things on your heart at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. So that you will, you know, be mindful,
that
you will pray.
Yeah.
I find being in the car by myself is one of the best times to pray.
Yeah.
I can't close my eyes. Well, you know.
Yeah.
I can pray out loud in the car, you know, or when I'm walking, I can pray out loud.
Hmm. Well, I was even just a moment ago thinking about how we should continue to develop this mindset of talking to God as a person. And I was just thinking about how we talk to other people and how we relate to other people. If something happens in our lives, we want to share that news. And so we'll call somebody up on the phone, or we'll send them a text message or something because they're our friend or they're our family member. And I think it really, we should be developing that same mindset with God too. If something happens, either good or bad, you know, and we want to share it, we can share it with God too. And just momentary prayer of, I want to share this concern that I have. Or thank Him for a joy that you've just experienced, or, you know, whatever. But thinking more of it as a friendship and a relationship. Do y'all have any other thoughts? That's all I have for tonight. But do y'all have any other comments or questions or anything? Well, I'm already encouraged by what we've gone through so far. And it's helping. It's helpful to me. I hope it's helpful to you as well. So let's just thank God for this time, and then we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, thank You that we've been able to come together tonight and meet. And just thank You for this study and for the people that have come to be a part of it and to learn more about how to pray to You and with You. Lord, help us more and more to experience Your love and to be assured that You are a loving Father to us. And Lord, just give us that openness and that genuineness as we come to You in prayer to pour out our hearts before You. And Lord, we just thank You that You are our Father and that You have done so much for us. Watch over us, Lord, as we go, and watch over our church family that couldn't be with us tonight. And we pray this through Jesus. Amen.